This is Morgan Berry, the voice of 13 from My Hero Academia. You're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. Let's go!
You are now listening to the number one fan-based entertainment podcast featuring all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live with your hosts, Xavier Josiah, Robert Moore, Terrence T. Mobile Simon, Lou Johnson, and Andre Stokes. Ready? Go!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. I'm, of course, your host, Xavier Josiah. With me, as always, Reno Robert Moore. No Terrence Simon this week. He was supposed to be here. He had some things he had to take care of. But that's quite all right. In his place, I managed to dig up from the cosmic grave none other than Papa Cosmic himself. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back Lou Johnson. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, you can't kill me. You can't kill me.
You're celestial. It's impossible. Exactly. You're celestial and a father of four. I mean, that's not happening.
I've been hanging out in my cocoon for a couple of months, regenerating.
Well, that's all right, because we've been talking your ass up every single episode. Something always reminds us of you, and we always brought you up. So eventually, it was inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I appreciate the love, man. It's been a ride. It's been fun. Wow. It's been a while since I've been back, and a lot's gone on. My son was born. My youngest son, Dominic, was born, and been living the life with that. And oh man, just wow. Yeah, that's just been my whole life, and I've been smiling ever since he showed up. And
right.
I'm still tired, and I'm always gonna be tired. I plan on being tired for at least the next 18 to forever years, but
tired too, like
yeah, right. My knees, my back is sound like Reggie Sanford limping around, but everything is great, man. Been trying to keep up with comic books. I've been playing a whole lot of video games, watching a whole lot of TV and movies. There's so much media out there right now, and everything that I see and read is everything in the headlines are basically hero based or fantasy based stuff, and it's very, very mainstream right now. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, it's so great still to be in the fan. So everything is great, man. Everything is awesome.
Well, let me tell you this, brother, before we even get started. Like, I always said, like, and to this day, I still I stand by this. You are like top list father of all time in my world.
Oh man, thanks.
And I was second that to Randy Green because he also takes his kids everywhere. Like his entourage is his kids, and I love that. But you also, man, just always the sound of your voice and the it's natural when it comes out of your voice. And like, I'm not joking. Like, when I wish I would have a embrace of father and family like that. So to see, even though I never had it, to see that other people are still keeping it real and keeping it alive. Shout out to you and all the other fathers out there. Seriously.
Well, thank you, man. It means a lot to me.
True superheroes, right there.
Thanks. That does mean that means a whole lot to me, because sometimes I feel, I mean, just to get off just on the father thing real quick, 5 seconds. Sometimes you feel like you're failing as a dad because you can't do everything that you possibly want to do. But fathers out there, if you're listening, you're not going to be perfect. Just keep plugging away at it and do what you can and love them as much as you can, because, man, life is too short to sit there and say what ifs. If you want to roll around the floor with them, do it. If you want to act goofy in the grocery store like I do every time we go with your kids, then do it, man. It's like life is life, and those kids are yours forever. Right. So embrace them and love them forever and be the best you can.
Hear. Reno Robert Moore, what's going on, brother?
Not much. Been a very busy week at work. So I've been working about 12 hours a day all week.
It's ching, that ching.
Yep. Well, no, unfortunately for me, I stopped getting paid about 8.5 hours in.
Oh, geez.
I'm a salary until December, and then I get overtime.
Salary is a gift and a curse.
Well, for the majority of the year, I am getting paid for working 5 to 6 hours a day.
Right.
And I get paid 8 hours
for it. But
this
is holiday season, so it does pick up a bit, right?
I'm assuming. Yeah, so this it's the trade-off. This is the the bad season. But
you need to come out here and punch some people in the face to keep forgetting to deliver my stuff on time.
Oh, I've had trouble too, so we would be stretching him from two different areas right now.
It happens to me too, but when it does, I'm like a mile away from the plant, so I just walk into the back and start yelling at supervisors.
That should be shown on video. You see, so I actually work for this place. Now watch what happens when I come in pissed off.
Yeah.
I have a badge. I can walk in through the back door.
Brace yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, today on this episode of Talk Time Live, we finally get a chance to watch Justice League. We've been waiting a long time for this, the climax of all the gathering of the super friends, and we're going to talk about what we thought about the movie as well, and plus a ton of other news coming up. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
And now it's time to find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
All right, unfortunately, we got to start off with some really sad news. I mean, like, three bits of sad news to start off. We got a lot of news to talk about here. Let's start off with this very surprising, and unfortunately, this is like the Dragon Ball news we don't want to hear, unfortunately. But, you know, it is what it is, and unfortunately, it happened. Hiromi Sudo, who is the actress who played Bulma, and actually, if you guys are Ranma 1/2 fans, is Ukyo from Ranma 1/2. She passed away, unbeknownst like to anybody else. Apparently, situation is, for what I understand, she was in the car, and she kind of phased out while in the car. And, you know, when the cops found her, she was not breathing. And, you know, we lost a legendary voice actor in Japan as a result of it. I mean, this is really, like, nobody saw this coming. This was, like, just totally off base of anybody that knew anything. And the cops are still, as we're told right now, the cops are still investigating what happened to her along the way on her ride.
I read an article that it was aortic dissection that killed her. It's a rupture in your aorta that expands over time, and it basically leads to a rupture of your aorta, and her stress and probably smoking is what caused it. But that's the thing that happened to her is exactly what it is. The low blood pressure caused her to pass out, and then she eternally just kind of bled to death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy as hell.
Yeah, it is.
And especially not being able to notice it or know it.
Yeah.
It's like that slow leak, man. That's scary stuff.
Exactly, slow leak. Got it right there.
Yeah, and it's sad because it's like you could go to the doctor's office as many times as possible, and you know they can give you a diagnosis right there and say that everything's fine, and then you know there's always you always feel like something's hitting in the back. You never know why your foot's hurting, why your arm's hurting, why you getting these headaches, why all this stuff happened, you know, and it's so weird. I mean, this is why I always tell people, I'm like, you really gotta, if you got something that you want to do, you need to get up and do it and make it happen. Gosh, don't think that you're just putting it off for now. I mean, yeah, plan for it, but and it may not happen in the time, but make sure you try to get it done, you know, or get whatever you need done that you want to make it done, because stuff like that, you never know. You know, we ain't getting any younger.
Nope. Live your life, man. Get out and do it.
Absolutely. Any way that you want to, not the way that society wants you to, by the way. There's a difference. But, yeah, you know, thoughts and prayers to the family of her and all the people and that's been a part of that, and all of her fans and everything. That's just, it's very sad to hear. It was so sudden. It was just like out of nowhere too. Coincidentally though, at the same time, during the same week, we find out that one of our voice actors from America, for who was on Dragon Ball Z, actually is seriously ill, and that is Christopher Arias. Who is the voice of Frieza? It's like a really pivotal character in the entire, you know, series.
Also known as the best Frieza.
Absolutely, because there was one before this.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, yeah, he knocked it out. He knocked it out the park here. And nobody, again, it was, I guess they kept it hidden. The way this sounds like, I think.
Well, there's no way he did not know this was happening.
Well, not COPD even him, but like other people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was like just hitting from media and society, and it was at a point where you can't hide it anymore and stuff like that. And it's getting to the point where, it's really sad. And this is crazy because like they just started airing Dragon Ball Super. So I don't know how sudden this was in accordance to when he did some of the episodes and everything, or you know what's going to happen to that. But it doesn't sound good on his behalf. Do we know anything more about this, Rob?
All we know is that he is starting a GoFundMe. It's not from GoFundMe, but it's one of those similar sites.
It's one of those
sites.
Crowdfunding, yeah.
Yeah, one of the crowdfunding. But he needs a double lung transplant.
Wow.
He's the last stages of COPD and emphysema, and both of which are untreatable and irreversible. So, yeah, he is in dire straits right now. Likely, he's been undergoing treatment for all this for probably quite a while, and this just got to the point where his body can't accept it anymore, and now he needs a more invasive treatment.
And I made a point to, because when you put up the link on the ACMG Facebook page, I made a point out to say this, like, please, people, do not think, I mean, if you really appreciate this guy's talent and you want to help him out as best you can, you want to be altruistic, you know, go out there and if you have the means, definitely go out of your way to help these guys out. These guys entertain you, and you know they are part of your childhood and stuff like that. And please do not think that these guys are uberly rich from doing these shows. If you are a listener to this show and if you've heard any of the interviews that we had with a lot of our guests that are voice actors on the show, especially Stephanie Shea, who's the voice of Sailor Moon, and Hinata from Naruto, she tells you straight up, I highly recommend you guys go listen to that one if you haven't. And she will tell you straight up, like, they're not driving in Benzes and Beamers. You're not seeing them driving in a BMW that Bruce Wayne is rocking on Justice League. That does not happen. They have to pay Uber amounts of bills too. They get, all right, now granted, they are well off more than most, but not to what you think. Not even. I mean, shout out to Kyle Habert and his fiance Christina Louise, who I'm like really close with, and they just lost their puppy just recently. And you guys remember I had this situation last year with mine. You know how devastating that is. Lou, you're a dog owner, so you know damn well. You know, they just recently lost their pup who they were fighting hard for, and they were like also crowdfunding, you know, to try to get the dog back in shape, but it just wasn't looking good. And you know, shout out to them. And I know they were going through a lot of emotions with that, but you know, these guys do not get paid, and they're still fighting, by the way. They're still in negotiations with SAG-AFTRA and you know, with the contracts with some of the video game companies, you know, EA especially, like with that. And we're talking about that in a minute. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's getting crazy out there. So I mean, please, people, you know, look out for your fellow voice actors as well. Moving on from that point, the other sad news that we have is that, you know, a name that I'm sure rather most people know, but you'll know the names of the people he played, Earl Hyman, which, if you watch The Cosby Show, you've known him to be the graceful Grandpa Huxtable. But if you recognize the voice, you also know him as the one and only original Panthro from the Thundercats, the 80s Thundercats. He actually passed away at 91. I'm going to be honest. I thought he passed away quite a long time ago. I swear to goodness that I saw some news that he died ages ago. And I don't know if that was like one of those internet stupid things that, you know, people are automatically shooting up saying somebody died and they didn't. But yeah, this is official. They have actually officially reported that he passed away. And 91, he's lived his life. This is like 91 is that time where you celebrate, where you appreciate the legacy that the man has left for himself or for his family. And, you know, I was telling people when this was brought up on our Facebook group, I'm like, 91 is a great time to celebrate somebody's life. I mean, he, you know, pretty much lived a really great and successful life. You know, he didn't have any controversy along the way. There was nothing going on. You never heard anything about him. He did his thing. He did it great. And, you know, rest in peace to him. You know, I say save all your mourning and crying is for the 13-year-olds and the 19-year-olds who really didn't get a chance, you know, as an example, who never really got a chance to, you know, live it out because they were shot They were, you know, shot before their time. They died before their time. Something happened to them. The cops got them. You know, stuff like that. They never got a chance to leave. Or people who, you know, died from a disease or something like that, that is incurable, and they, you know, left us way too early. This right here, to me, is a celebration, and, you know, I thank him dearly for the years as a really graceful grandfather on that show, as well as, you know, just being one of the coolest characters in cartoon, in our cartoon history, you know, growing up and everything. Lou, what was your biggest memory with him about this guy?
Cosby Show, and he was a trumpet player.
Yeah, was he really, like, he was a legit trumpet player too, right?
He was a musician, yeah.
And yeah, so they really brought that on. They really put that on with the show. He really did a great job with that. I remember that episode because he was on with other
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, he was on with Louis Armstrong. I mean, jeez.
Show he played with Louis Armstrong. He was the grandfather figure that everybody, you know, you had Cliff and you had his dad. You definitely saw where the character Cliff Huxtable was definitely raised by his father. You know, they were definitely the same. The characters, Grandpa Huxtable definitely instilled great values into his son.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you could definitely tell. He was an impact to me because it was the black family unit that nobody really knew of.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that was the Cosby Show in itself. But him playing in that role was amazing because you saw the love between Grandpa Huxtable and the grandmother, and especially when they did that 50th wedding anniversary celebration, that was the best. But yeah, that was my memory of him. Of course, Panthro, but I really think of him as Grandpa Huxtable, and that's where he'll always stick in my head.
I didn't think of him because of Panthro, because I didn't know he was I didn't put two and two together until like years later at the time, because remember, we grew up with 80s mindset, so we didn't think as good as we did now.
Thank God.
Yeah, right, exactly. You look back in the 80s, man. God, some of the ideology and mentality that we had back then. So, like, I want to.
What does it matter with us?
We need to do a hot tub time machine back to the 80s. I guarantee we will kill it. Oh, man. Any memories from you? Were you aware of this character, Rob?
I know the character. I've watched a little bit of the Cosby Show here and there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to, you know. If I saw a picture of him, I wouldn't have been able to call him out, but
yeah,
I remember him on there, and yeah, I remember his voice in Panthro, very iconic.
Yeah. Did you, cause they had the recent Thundercats, which was really good. And almost to the point, I forgot who was the voice of that Panthro. Did you, when you heard that character, that new voice, did you think like you wanted to hear the original Panthro, or did you guys actually like the original voice better? Because it was so iconic in a sense.
I couldn't tell you if I ever could distinguish the difference, because
mm-hmm.
I was a kid. You know, it was just a bunch of nunchuck action, and he drove a really really cool cat car. So I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I got older.
And he played.
Yeah,
off,
they would have to.
Off,
they'd
like,
have to play the old and the new one to like at the same like back to back to kind of get a difference between what they sound like.
I kind of wish they did not cancel that series. Still to this day, I swear to goodness, that's a bigger crime than Young Justice. I don't care what anybody say. I think Young Justice did get an endpoint. They left us on a cliffhanger with that damn series. I mean, for goodness sake, that was a crime in its nature. But, you know, I digress. You know, rest in peace to the man, Earl Hyman. You know, thank you for the memories, and, you know, peace be with you, bro. And now, we got to get down to this very interesting news. Lou, I don't know if you had time to see this situation with this that just came up. There was a post that from Jason Richardson of J1 Studios. He posted it just recently, and it was in reference to Salt Lake Comic Con, who's going to court to face San Diego Comic Con over the rights to the brand name Comic Con, because Comic Con International, which is the company that creates and promotes the biggest con of United States,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to make sure that everybody wipes the Comic-Con name from their cons, because they feel that they were using it longer than anybody, and you know they wanted that to be their brand, their only exclusive brand. Now, I would like to go around the table here and get you guys' viewing of this from a business standpoint, from a promotional standpoint, from a fan standpoint. Do you see, one, do you see them, you know, Salt Lake Comic Con having a case on this? And two, do you agree with San Diego Comic Con on this case? So where do you lie in this situation? I mean, this is a case that's happened before. I mean, you got to think back to WWF, which we all know was, to us, if you're a wrestling fan, you know that was World Wrestling Federation. But World Wildlife Federation also was out too, and they were around forever, and they decided to fight and go, which is a similar case right here, to be the brand name that owns the rights to say WWF, which led to WWF turning themselves into WWE here. There's been other cases too where people have been, you know, laying claim to names. Donald Trump, you're fired. Michael Buffer, let's get ready to rumble, stuff like that. So where do you lie in this case? Lou, I'll start with you on this.
Oh man, I don't know. I think it's a little over the top, if you ask me, with the whole I'm getting mad because you're using two words, comic and con, at the end of your location. That's like saying, just off the top of my head, that's like two different milk companies or butter companies saying, you know what, you can't use the word butter in your advertising because we use butter too. No,
right. Yeah.
A Comic-Con is a comic convention.
Right.
Now, if they want to get particular, Salt Lake could be like, all right, fine, we'll change it to Salt Lake City Comic Convention.
Right.
Big deal.
Yeah, thank you.
And I really think San Diego's getting a little too big for their britches.
Right.
And they're trying to flex because they are San Diego. Yes, they are the biggest con, you know, internationally. Big deal. Get over yourselves. Just because you want the name doesn't mean you can get the name. Simply because you feel like you deserve it because you've had it forever. It doesn't matter because you know how many cons go on in the nation that have Comic-Con at the end of it?
For years.
Yeah, there are like three Comic-Cons here in Asheville every year. And I really don't think that they want to fight everybody over this whole stupid two-word thing.
Yeah.
Business-wise, it's great. If they want to try to brand it, then fine. Brand it. You have the money. Knock yourselves out. You want to fight 50 states with 100 cons a year in it? Fight it, go right on ahead and do it. If you want to buy it, buy it. But I think for the fans really don't care. We're all laughing at it like we are right now.
I agree.
We're all laughing at them because they want to fight over something stupid. They're going to lose respect to the fans because San Diego Comic-Con has become, from what I can understand, a whole circus, and it's not about the fans anymore. It's all about making that money. Yep. You know, and you've described it as it is a circus because you've gone twice and you've been like, oh my gosh, this is insane. It's amazing and insane the whole time.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
it's amazing and insane, and it's like a blender full of cats with a bunch of chili peppers thrown in it, but you have fun. It's just at what point do you remain humble?
Yeah.
Humility is something lost in the nation right now, and I think that they're really getting out of pocket trying to flex on something so stupid as this.
Right. Rob, what's your take on this?
My take is more or less the same. He used the butter analogy. I was going to use the beer analogy. This is like Coors and Budweiser trying to fight over the word beer. I mean, it's basically exactly what it is. Exactly. And comic, yeah, like Lou said also, comic convention is, I mean, Comic-Con is just short for comic convention. I mean, it's really not a brand. It's a description of what it is. It's not really a brandable word.
Exactly.
Well, that's true and not true.
No. In literal senses, that is very true because it's just, if you look it up, just strictly by definition, by Webster's definition, it's a descriptor of what it is.
Right. In that sense. But what they're trying to do, what I understand and see what they're trying to do, and I get what they're trying to do. Like, I get it, it is amazingly extra for them to do this because no matter what they do, they're still going to be the top deal as long as they keep pulling in the money, as long as they keep benefiting the city, as long as they keep, you know, doing what they do best and brand themselves the best way. I think that this is particularly extra, but would be that as it may, they may have legs to stand on this. For quite a bit of reasons. This can go any way. And like you said, Lou, at the end of the day, the fans won't really care because they're going to go to what gives them the best.
Exactly.
That's what it comes to. And at the same time, I don't think that if they win this case, the only way I can see them winning this case, longevity. longevity is one, because for some reason it comes. I think the courts will possibly see the longevity of who has had it for longer, who's been advertising, who's been promoting it longer. If they registered it in as a actual trademark, that would be a big deal. And it's a matter of when they trademark this, the term Comic-Con in their names. That could be a major deal here. But at the same time, that's like my company saying, I'm Viewfinders Identity Search and Design. Do you know how many Viewfinders is out there?
Yes, I've Googled it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a lot of Viewfinders out there. I mean, that's a whole other thing. So, I mean, it's really, really hard to say. I mean, they can word it any other way. They can use the word con, like J1Con, for instance. I think they want the actual word Comic-Con and not just the word con itself. If you should just keep the word con, anybody can change their, put add a con to the name. I think they originally want the name Comic-Con. To me, honestly, there's a possibility that, you know, with the right money and the right lawyer and the right statement, they can actually win this case. But at the end of the day, it is kind of like, why? What's the point? And even if they win, you know, honestly, what it comes down to, I said it best, you know, in the words of William Shakespeare, what's in a name? You know,
yeah.
I say this from a standpoint that, yeah, let them take the name all they want. They can't take the brand and what you bring together. You can change and rebrand yourself to say Comic Extravaganza, Comic, you know, Impact, whatever. It's what you bring to the table at the end of the day that matters. You know, you can have a great nutshell. You can have a great candy-coated whatever. It's what's inside that really matters at the end of the day.
Now I want M&M's.
There you go. Good point. I prefer pretzel. But, but I mean, case in point, like I'm going back to the WWE situation. They had to they lost the case in this fact from the World Wildlife Foundation, and they had to make some changes. Thanks to their brilliant marketing crew, they end up doing this marketing campaign that said, we're now WWE. You can get the F out. Led by your man, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who did a hell of a promo talking about this, and the crowd went crazy over this. And next thing you know, WWE is still WWE. It's 2017. They're bigger than ever. They're now in the billions factor. So it didn't really do anything. It didn't change anything for them. They didn't lose any fans. In fact, they gained more fans. I just say, you know, again, if they're whining about it, kind of let them have it and see, and just be innovative enough to do what you. I mean, because sometimes I think owners are afraid. I think owners are really afraid that the name really is important in some cases, and it does. I think if case may be, I had to lose the name of Viewfinders, if I had to lose the name of ACMG, I think I'm smart enough to really find something significant enough to create a new name, but still bring you the best in all things, you know, whether graphic design, multimedia design, or even, you know, anime, comics, movies, and games. I think I'm confident enough to rebrand myself. It's just you would have to really think. You can't solely focus on just the name itself, but what you got to really focus on is what you're bringing to the table. So it's an iffy thing. It could go either way, in my opinion. I mean, honestly, as a fan, like you said, Lou, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing I do want to ask you guys about, too, before we move on, is that the thing is with Salt Lake Comic-Con was that how they were going to try to go to court was they were trying to do a crowdfunding for legal fees for this. So it kind of gets you an idea. They kind of expose themselves as to how big of a company they are as opposed to trying to fight bigger, you know, big Comic-Con here.
Well, that's when it comes down to, okay, am I getting bullied?
Yeah.
Is San Diego Comic-Con really trying to bully me? And I think that's part of what it is. They just want
to sit there. This really does feel like a tester. Like they're seeing what they can get away with.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, no,
like you
no
said,
doubt.
Dax, let
them
give it to them. Take the lunch money. You know what? I'm going to go on to Clash. Just go and take the lunch money.
Yeah.
I don't care. San Diego can do what they want to do. Let them do. No disrespect to them. That's their hustle. That's their business.
Yeah.
Just quit picking on people, man. You have the biggest game in town. Why are you going to sit there and pick on people?
Yeah. And Repop is right up next to them. And if they got to change Comic-Con, I'm pretty sure they'll be all right.
Because
Repop is literally right next door to them saying, hey, we're about to meet. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, do you guys agree with the crowdfunding portion of this? Do you think that it was what happened was they decided to want to do crowdfunding to get the legal fees and all the stuff, but then they suddenly stopped, and I think they realized they might not have been the best idea in the world to do. Would that something that you agree with as a good method to do? Or if you're them?
Oh, man. Yeah. Why not? I mean, they aren't huge. They're Salt Lake. I mean, I don't know. Salt Lake is big, but it's like it's Salt Lake City, for Pete's sake. I don't know. They asked for they want the fans to help them, which is great because that would show solidarity in their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think they got to a point where they're like, all right, we're about to go up against San Diego. Let's just back off because what's the point?
Well, the court case is still happening, but they just, you know, how they get the money to do this is a whole other thing. Yeah. It might be a plea. Nah.
Yeah.
There may be a plea coming soon, so who knows?
They may plea out. I don't know. If they want to go to crowdfunding, that's the thing to do right now. You know, yeah. GoFundMes and YouTube and everything else like that where people donate money. So it's a thing to do, and it's a great way to show for your fans to show their love for you. So
I honestly think that all the Comic-Cons should have came together and put their money together in this one.
Yeah, we may not be able to say the word Comic-Con without paying them a royalty.
I mean, it's just like Donald Trump and Michael Buffer. If you say the words I probably shouldn't be saying right now, you know, if you even shout out, you know, let's get ready to, or your, you know, if you're not Mr. Mm-hmm. McMahon, you can't really say it without, you know, getting a letter of, you know, cease and desist from it. Like, if you hear any of those, but it's at the same time, it's just sad. But this is, you know, honestly, the bad part is the reality is there really is no crime in what they're doing. It just sucks that they're doing it. And what is the end game benefit? You know, or somebody made a point and said that, you know, if they get the rights to say this name and get the rights to this name, they can move on and tour their ventures to other cities, which could be the ideal thing. And that might be what they're trying to do. You know, so just like Wizard World, they got a Wizard World every different, you know, city and all the stuff. They might be trying to do what, you know, Repop is doing with Philadelphia, trying to bring Keystone Comic-Con and all the stuff up to this venture.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll keep up on this one and see how this goes. This is very interesting. I don't know what the end results is or what their, you know, what their method is, but we'll keep.
They're supposed to be going to trial the end of the month is from what I read. So we should be hearing some results here soon.
Yeah, we'll
see. Or at least some progress on it.
But, I mean, this is the name of the – it's sad, but this is capitalism at its best and worst, you know. So, we'll see. So, in reference to the Justice League, which we'll be reviewing in our talk time, Wonder Woman 2, it got a release date already in November 2019. So, you guys ready to – especially after what we saw this movie. I'm more than ready for this. I see they're starting to get a buzz here. Wonder Woman was a great deal. You know, to start off, and you know, wow, November 1st, 2019, they already got a date set. Hopefully, it'll stick. Are you, Lou? Are you excited?
Of course, I'm excited. I'm breathing. Yes, of course, I'm excited about this.
Becca's right behind you. Like, you better be excited for.
Oh man, yeah. Yeah. Of course, I'm excited. I can't wait to see how they expand on this character and see which way they're gonna go with it. So,
any ideas of who the villain of this gonna be this time?
Eek, no idea. No, I couldn't.
Who's her father, Rob?
I'm sorry.
Who's her father in the comics?
Zeus.
It is. Wait, Zeus is actually her father. I thought it was somebody else.
No,
it's
always been Zeus.
Because whether it was the animated movie or Justice League animated series, wasn't it somebody else that supposed to be the father?
They hinted towards Ares at some point, but it's always pretty much come back to Zeus.
Okay.
As far as I can recall.
Okay. All right. That'll be very interesting. They bring him along because they did kind of show him on the movie, if I'm correct.
When they were fighting, yeah.
Yeah,
they
did. During one of the scenes. So I'm looking forward to it. So I'm down. They're starting to gain momentum, and I'm glad. So we'll see how this goes. And you know, shout out to everybody that's been keeping it going so far on that one.
Yeah, well, she's so far proving to be the brightest spot in the DCEU.
Yes,
so of course they're
going
to keep her on the front lines there.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep keep all the Amazons clothed. Which, yes. What's the
We'll get to that.
Let's get to that right now. That was one of the situations right now. Without even talking about the actual movie, I think we could talk about this. But there was controversy. First of all, I was on Twitter when I read this, and it was one person that brought this up, and it brought mixed reviews and stuff like that. But it just so happens that in the movie, they did have some of the, not all of them that we found out, some of them were dressed in Amazon skimpier armor, Mm-hmm. And that sparked a controversy for everybody, which is very interesting. And I kind of see the point. I kind of like and saying like, all right, is it really stretching it too long, a controversy here? Or is it, you know, is it nitpicking? Or, you know, I can see where it was happening, you know, what's going on. But what is your thoughts on these guys? You guys, obviously, you've seen the movie, you've seen the garb. You also noticed that there were also other Amazonian.
There were different classes of Amazon warrior.
Right,
that's the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
yeah.
There may be a method to all of this going on, but what was your view on this when you saw this, Lou?
Ah, okay. The females, from what I can remember, and I remember the movie pretty well, the ones that were so bikini clad were the hammer ones that knocked down the pillars, right, to seal off the cave.
Yeah.
Okay. They were buff. They were huge. They were. Mm-hmm. That's like complaining about a big guy going topless or going like he's dressed like a warrior. They're warriors. They were dressed that way to show off their muscles.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. And the other warriors, yeah, they may have been scantily clad, but they were wearing the front line warrior armor. They were dressed for the occasion. These women stand in a cave with hammers ready to knock down pillars.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they're not frontline warriors. They're just guards, glorified
exactly,
guards.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as much as I can respect people being like, oh, a guy designed the outfit so they're dressed like Baywatch babes. Whatever, dude. You know what? Once I saw the movie and I looked back at the article, I was like, these people are ridiculous. They're just looking to pick a fight. All they want to do is pick a fight. And they got attention. They got exactly what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kudos to them for doing that. But they don't have a basis. Once you watch the movie and you realize that they have taken this completely out of context.
Yep.
And
that's exactly what I got when I watched it. I was like, okay, so there's a method. Being the fact that, Diana's mother was all fully garbed, and her side warriors were fully garbed. There was quite a few people that were fully garbed, and then it was these set women that were, you know, like you guys said, like, you know, bikini clad or warrior clad in some cases.
Yeah.
There was a mother, you know, it's where it's like, oh, we're in such a case right now in this society of our country that I think by the end of 2018, we're just all going to be silent, because anything that we say out of our mouth or anything we do
is going to be misconstrued.
It's going to be faced with a sense of controversy.
I'm going to start talking in sign language. That way they can't even.
No. You'll flip up the middle finger eventually, and then somebody's going to see that and take it out of the context.
Horns broken, fingers broken. Look out for gun. That's my bumper sticker.
I just feel like that we're going to in my head, I feel like there's going to be a line of people, a line on one side, men on one side, women on the other. We're just going to be silent. We're going to be in one point perspective. One's going left, the other one's going right. We can't express ourselves in a different way.
But they still going to want to have sex with each other. That's it. They go talk. They just gonna be out there trying
to get. Yeah, right. The minute one person from one line crosses to the street to the other line is gonna be they're gonna get shot.
Yeah,
that's the way I see it. Now it's just censorship is gonna be extreme, and as we go by, it's insane. Get that man out of office. I just feel like that's where the root is. All of this is at.
No, that's
turning
not the root
us into China.
Yeah, he became the beacon. I'm going to get off of this in a second. He became the beacon for all dum-dums to poke their heads back out because they were quiet for many years.
Were they? Mm-hmm. I mean, just out of the bushes. No pun intended.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about more of that when we do the show, but I thought it was interesting. Let's go in. First of all, happy holidays, I guess.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Yeah.
I mean, it does not feel like, but we're a week away from Thanksgiving.
And I bought a turkey yesterday, so it sunk in.
You're frying it again, aren't you?
You got dang all right, I'm frying it again.
You got dang all right, you better FedEx. I'm tired of you frying and flying away.
Hey, don't reheat that well. I'll eat it myself.
I'll take my chances, bro. I've yet to have a fried turkey. I've never tasted a fried turkey. I bet not die before I eat a fried turkey.
They're so good.
My gravestone, when I say die without eating fried turkey, that's horrible. And then somebody lays a fried turkey on my grave. It's the same as eating it. The oil will sop into your gravesite. I don't want that, people. I need to have one. Somebody look out for me this year. So the deal is Black Friday's coming, as you know, day after Thanksgiving and all the stuff. And I come to an email, much like you guys have comes to an email if you're an Amazon Prime owner, that they're doing trade-ins now. And Lou, you've actually said that you've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And of course, you've had your experience with GameStop. You've had this. How's the trade-in value with this?
It's great. Me and Rob discussed this weeks ago. Remember, Rob? We talked about the fighting games?
Yep.
Yeah. And so you go on Amazon, they offer a trade-in, and you select a game or peripheral or whatever it is, and they have an appraisal value, mm-hmm. right? A flat-out appraisal value. And you can say, okay, I want to trade this in, and they instantly give you credit, right?
Wow.
For whatever you picked. And then you buy whatever you want, and they say, okay, well, if your piece of equipment or game comes in and doesn't eval as well as you think it is, we're going to charge you for it, which is fair.
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
And it was great. They emailed you a shipping label. They pay for shipping.
That's fine.
And I actually... I actually got rid of Injustice 2 and Marvel vs. Capcom 2 because, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite because,
Infinite, yeah,
they were just sitting there. I played them, I loved them, but they were gathering dust because I was playing a whole lot of shooters and a whole lot of RPGs. Right. And
you've broken hearts of fighting game fans all over. I just want to point
out. Yeah, right. I know. I talked to Rob for 2 straight days about this. I was like, what should I do? He was like, dude, pull the trigger. If they're gathering dust, get your money. I was like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now.
Right. And in comparison, GameStop was offering $10 less per game than Amazon. All right, so ended up trading 2 games and a controller. Ended up with like $70.
That's really good.
So, it is.
That's in value per game, you probably got what, like 30% out of the game.
Yeah,
A little over 30%, if I understand right from what you told me. That's pretty good.
It is. It's amazing. And the shipping was, they paid for shipping. It got there in 2 days. It gave you a tracking number, all the rest, make you feel good about yourself.
You don't even have to be a Prime member to actually get that, right?
I don't know that. Mm. I don't know. But they all, Amazon gives a 30-day free trial, so people are definitely going to bounce off of it a whole lot.
Yeah.
Which is going to be good. I recommend it for anybody who has stuff that's gathering dust. They take controllers, peripherals, games, of course, anything. They'll praise it. They give you a quote, pay you the quote, appraise it, and if it doesn't meet expectations, which I have no experience with, they just charge your account for the difference. So either way, you come out on top.
You just want to experiment with it. Get a disc and just break it up. See, like, get the credit.
Oh, and another thing that Amazon does is that, just a quick marketing thing for them, that Whole Foods, they have drop-off locations at Whole Foods now.
Say what?
Yeah. Nice. So if you order something from Amazon and you don't want it delivered to the house, Terrence, if you're listening to this, here's a tip, buddy.
If you don't
want it delivered to the house, you can have it delivered to a Whole Foods. They have drop-off locations.
Hey, they better with all the charges, how much money they charge for stuff over in that damn market.
No, actually, the prices have gone down because they've gotten in tandem with Amazon. So it's like
they've gone down. Wait, Whole Foods is going down in your area?
Yeah.
All right, because the Whole Foods that my wife goes to, it happens to be in a really, really good, ritzy, upper stratified area.
I mean, you still got to know the bouncer, and you have to be on the list to get in, but they still have decent prices.
They know they caviar bound over where she goes. So they charge her arm and a leg. Like, a stack of celery is the same price as your turkey.
I food shop at Aldi. I go to... I go to Whole Foods for specialty stuff.
Aldi's good, Costco and BJ's is all we do. So I mean, I need a Boy Scout survival box of cereal to get by. I can't have anything less. It has to be like that. It has to be like that one that will last you for days if you're stranded in a hole.
So. Yeah.
Oh man, what do you think about this, Rob? You down with this?
It sounds like a good idea, good idea to me. Sorry, I can't talk.
Sounds like you're reading off a cue card.
Sorry, the prompter got stuck. It's good to see somebody stepping up to GameStop and really just putting a big bright shiny spotlight on them and how crappy their trading deals are. Mm-hmm. And Amazon seems to be just taking over these days.
Yeah, they're elbowing everybody out of the room. Everybody, which is good and bad at the same time. I like somebody that will compete with Walmart across the board.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I think that they're really competing with big brand Midwestern America. Well, Target is doing their own thing, man. They're in the upper echelon of that stuff. They're not even trying to dip into what everybody's doing. Target's happy with what Target has.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the soccer moms and all the soccer dads hanging out in there.
Oh, people always talk about how they go in there and have a hard time getting just one thing.
It's true. I have to discipline myself every time I go in there because I end up in electronics and toys and buying tons of T-shirts. The T-shirts are always like $8 a piece. I'm like, right. God, T-shirts. Yep. It's 32 degrees. Give me T-shirts. So it's like, even better. Oh, man. But quick spin on GameStop. They had a game rental thing going on. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. You could set up a rental program with them. It costs $60 for 6 months. You can rent as many used games as you want. And at the end of the 6 month period, you get one of those rented games for free.
Really? That's interesting. That's very interesting.
It's dead. They killed it. it lasted a whole month. It was in beta and it was about to go live last week.
Yeah.
It was supposed to go live last week and they killed it dead.
Do you know why? Was it due to lack of, you know, participation and
they
sales?
Never released a press release explaining why they killed it. But it was a great concept and I really think that they wanted to generate more business inside of their stores because people are all online now.
Yeah.
You know, you have digital content.
Even them.
Yeah.
They sell digital codes and everything too. They try their best to, you know, be up to date and things.
Well, see, that's the thing is that they want to try to like push more people in the stores. That way they can grab a rented game and see something. Oh, great. Let me buy this pop or buy this coffee mug or whatever. They're trying to generate more in-store business. I have no idea why they killed it. It sounded like a great concept. Yeah. I was thinking about participating because it's $60 over 6 months and you get a game out of it.
Yeah.
Great. But I'm supporting GameStop, which is kind of weird. I don't really hate them.
When's the last time you've been into a GameStop?
About 4 weeks ago. Yeah. No, not even that. It was a couple weeks ago because when World War II came out, I went in there and I bought a new controller for the game. But yeah, that was the last time I went in. But I know the manager there. She's a cool person. She doesn't try to push anything stupid on them because she knows I'm going to tell her no in the first place. they killed that. And I'm trying to figure out why, because it sounded good. I just really think that they probably got in over their heads with it. But that was just interesting. And
it just sounds like that they're trying to swim around to try to find. And I, you know what? I commend them on that because they should. And I think everybody should, especially if you're doing something that somebody else is already doing. If not better, you need to find your own niche. And this is what I'm saying. Like when it comes back to all these comic book conventions and everything that, you know, it's not even like I said, it's not much as the name as much as what you do. You need to find your niche that stands out from everybody else.
Well, GameStop's been around forever. And people are getting tired of their crap because you go in there with a handful of games and they give you $27.50 for a stack of games and a brand new Xbox. You're like, what is wrong with you people? So I think they're getting on fans' nerves. And
you gotta see all the memes.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, for brand new games, nobody stands outside for the releases anymore. It's midnight download. Nobody wants to care about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, I'm off of it.
But I noticed that, when you go into a GameStop, Rob, when was the last time you've been in a GameStop?
Let's see. What was the last game that I bought? I think it was when I bought South Park. So
right.
A few weeks ago. Yeah, and it's right down the street from my work. So
have you guys noticed the because I haven't been in there for years. Now, last time I went in there, you guys saw I went in to get like two new game Joy-Cons for my Switch and a bunch of other things, new controllers and all that stuff. And I just noticed like how it feels so random. It's like they're selling a whole bunch of things that I never knew they sold in there.
Well, they teamed up with ThinkGeek.
ThinkGeek, yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically turned the store into the toy section of Hot Topic and push all the games to the back of the store.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how it is at mine.
No, that's the way it was at mine because, I mean, you had to get the Mario Odyssey hat from exclusively from there.
Yeah, it's weird. I went to the one, like, down the block from me is the exact same way. You walk in and you're hit with pop figures and cups and T-shirts and all the rest of this stuff.
It really weirded me out for a bit, even though it was still relevant. It just felt like, wow, they're really trying to do some different stuff here. But it feels like I had a really good sense of we're losing when I went in there. Because otherwise, I'm figuring like if they didn't have to go through all this route, they wouldn't have done this. They wouldn't have done none of this. They would have still been the same thing that format that they would have done. But they see they got competition, so they have to change up. So I see them reaching. I just felt like they see them reaching out to different things in there. But It'll be interesting. 2018 and GameStop, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with them now, because I just feels like they're getting beat down big time, if not from the fans, but from competition at this point. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from there. Moving on to more video game news. I know, Lou, you're not a Mario fan to that extent. But will you take your kids to go see a Mario movie?
Don't know. Honestly, if it's made by the people that made Minions, of course I'm going to do it, because my son Sebastian loves Minions. He's like he walks around the house going Bebo, Bebo, Bebo all the time. So, but yeah, I'll probably do it.
Yeah, well, apparently that is exactly what's happening. The studio behind Minions is working on a Mario Brothers movie. Finally, it's kind of like the Simpsons movie. This should have been happening a long time ago, but better now than, you know, more better now on the present than anything, because technology and CGI is much, much better. We hope that it won't be a live action one again. And, you know, Shigeru Miyamoto is going to be heavily involved in this. So I think this may be a great thing. Rob, something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, once I looked it up and saw that it was going to be animated, I'm like, yeah, I'll go see it. Nobody's ever going to be able to watch that live action taste out of your mouth. That was just terrible, terrible. But to have a animated one, that's basically the form he needs to be in.
I agree.
He's too ridiculous and too comical to be a live action.
And nothing truly makes sense that you can pull it off in real life.
Just wouldn't work.
If they could pull it off like a Wreck-It Ralph, perfect.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. But you know, two different companies, they're gonna try their best. The French company that makes the Minions is absolutely phenomenal at what they do. So yeah. I think it's going to pay off really well.
Now, the thing is, too, here's a funny thing. Because I don't know if you've probably seen it, Lou. I don't know if you saw Rob. The Smurfs, the original Smurfs movie that came out with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
I hated the idea that they did that. They did the same thing for that movie that they did with, like, Masters of the Universe from way back and brought them to, like, to the city. They did test. I'm like, that didn't work for Masters of the Universe. Why do you think this was going to work here? And they brought the Smurfs to New York, and they made Gargamel like a real-life thing, and they had Neil Patrick. I'm like, that was just, and then they made a sequel from it. I just actually, no lie, just saw The Lost Village, which is all CGI. And I swear to goodness, that was the best version. It's exactly the way it should have been. It's on Netflix right now, too.
And yeah, my son loves it.
Yeah, and I was like, let me check this out. I'm like, this is exactly the way the Smurfs should have been at all times. This is the way. It's actually a pretty damn good movie. I don't know how much it made in the theaters, but I thought it was, this is the way it should have been. I hope this is the way Mario Brothers should be. I'm actually looking forward to this. But Rob, have you seen the Smurfs? Any of them?
No, I had no interest in watching them.
Even drunk?
I watched the cartoon, but it doesn't have exactly the same tone that they definitely lightened it up a lot. It was almost like watching the previews. It made me think it was like My Little Pony. Well, I mean, that's the idea I got from it.
The recent one actually I can vouch for. Actually, for me, I thought it was very, you know, relevant and respectful to the fanfare of the old cartoons, way more than the stupid other two movies. Now, I didn't even see the second one. The first one, I was like, meh. But I felt like I gave this one a try. So, I mean, I got high hopes for this Mario movie. And I guarantee, I got a feeling, I can tell you this, that movie may make a lot of money. When I think, because I can see Nintendo and the studios in Hollywood, I can see a big marketing thing over this. I can see them really making a big deal out of this. I predict that this movie is going to make a ton of cash on a first run. And if depending on how good this is, they can make a lot of money from there. If Miyamoto's going to be a part of this, they're going to do it right. So I think he watched the original movie and was like, what did I do? So let's talk some EA fun. I'm sure you guys have been waiting to talk about this. And Rob, I'm going to start with you on this because you've been posting memes like crazy over this. What the hell is going on with EA, a.k.a. evil assholes?
Well, apparently, people are finally getting mad at EA for their loot box systems. It was popularized pretty heavily with like Overwatch and Hearthstone.
Those for those who don't know, what exactly is the loot box?
Basically, a loot box is something you can buy that can either enhance your game, give you like you know, extra credits or a new armor or what, depending on whatever the game is, some kind of bonus to your game, or it could be, you know, like an emote or something like that. And in this particular game, they locked a lot of the super popular characters like Luke and Darth Vader behind loot boxes that you either had to grind your life away to get or pay actual money to get, and you wouldn't even know if you actually got it.
Wow.
So
sucks. That really sucks. And
I think the reason why it is so bad now, like, I remember first when EA first did it with, well, I don't know if it was when they first did it. When I first noticed it, it was in Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. It was in there. They had a cooperative multiplayer, like, horde mode, and you earn credits from there that you can open boxes with and, you know, unlock characters, guns, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you had the option to pay for them. But that you got enough, in my opinion, you got enough by playing that you didn't have to buy it. So this one is like the complete opposite. Like, you're never going to be able to get these characters unless you buy it, or if you are playing 24/7.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's the thing. And
what was it? 40 hours for a character at the beginning?
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
That's too much of a grind.
Yeah, exactly. The average was 40 hours for a brand new character.
Wow.
And so the total hours to unlock every character and everything that you wanted just by playing the game was over 2,000 hours of gameplay.
So damn. And I understand what they were attempting to do and why they were trying to do it for replay value, but that's overkill.
WWE, it's similar to like the fight money and stuff like that, you know. But at least with that, you know what you're buying. You're buying something from a store. You're not basically gambling, which is another thing.
Funny thing that you said that, because WWE 2K18 also does that too. They have their own loot crate situation, so you can random, like, you got to earn all this money that takes you forever to do it. And then was there a summit? Was there a dice summit where they just came up with this idea, with this stupid idea to do this? Because there's a grind on that game too, where you take weeks after weeks of fighting and you earn this money, and then you can gamble it off with a loot crate that you give random stuff. You unlock different moves or clothing and stuff, or you get more money to come back to spend it again, or you could use that money to go and do stats. But it stretches the RPG elements insanely to the point that it's like it's almost not worth doing, and you're not earning any more money doing it. You also got to change like clothing, like do new t-shirt designs so you can get more money that way. The only saving grace about 2K right now is that you can skip the actual story mode and go to the where they have the universe mode, which you create your own type of wrestling promotion. You go through your own calendar and do it, and you don't have to go through all that grind with that. So you can literally skip all that and go there. But I know you can't do that for any of the EA games that you just mentioned, which is sad.
I think they are taking notes from a lot of the free to play MMOs out there, because a lot of them, including like Star Trek Online, you know, I have an entire bank full of loot boxes that I don't open. You know, I just sell them to people who want to buy them, because you get so many of them. And yeah, exactly. I make money off of you buying stupid crap.
Like, hun, bills are paid.
Yeah. And, you know, you wait for the sales and stuff like that. But this has gotten to the point where Battlefront 2, the Star Wars game, is actually being investigated in Belgium for being a gambling. They want to change it to a gambling game and not a action or whatever category it's in now. But yeah, they want to. They're saying that it's not, but you know, they're just kind of sugarcoating it, because any lawyer can tell you by reading that, oh yeah, that's gambling.
Yeah.
Because you're giving your real money to a RNG box that you don't know what you're gonna get. That's gambling. You know.
Yeah, it's just crazy. They've killed themselves. I was interested in playing that game.
It looked really good.
Until all of this. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
And I'm a Star Wars fan.
And it has some really good voice, actual celebrities and talent in that game, too.
Yeah, it's got everything, even money. It's like, I was like, okay, if you bought, I read another report, if you bought everything that they offered, it would be $1,700 to buy every loot box that they offered.
Wow.
It's crazy. They've done an injustice to the game. They've done an injustice to the fans. And they're paying for it because, yeah, they rolled back. Now it's an average of 10 hours per character. Okay, great. 10 hours.
Right.
Reasonable. But your loot box system is still broken. They really screwed up. Everybody was waiting for this game, and all of a sudden it drops. And it's like the past couple of games that big companies have dropped, they're all broken.
Yeah.
And so this is just one of them.
Yep.
I thought Dead or Alive was bad. what they were doing before, just give you, make you, like, charging you $99 for, like, all these clothes, these scantily clad clothing on these women. And I'm like, who the hell is thirsty enough to actually want to do all that?
You know, this is, what,
I mean,
really?
There's a lot of jiggle.
There's a lot of jiggle, but...
No,
no, not that much. Now, granted, no. There are some costumes in there that are great, but not for the price that they're paying them. Like, they got Tatsunoko, you know, skins and clothing and all the stuff that on them. But I'm like, no, it's still not worth it. That's a lot of money. You could buy a completely brand new game for the amount of money that they're asking for. It's overkill. And I thought that I would hope that this type of business practice and strategy in the video game industry would have stopped. In fact, it seems like it's getting worse. You know, mm-hmm. all the way back to the mobile games and the in-app purchases there. I mean, like, Smurf Village really started up something really bad.
Yeah.
Because way back from that point.
I'm thinking about World War II. Love the game. It's broken. It's damaged. The servers suck.
Mm-hmm.
The everything, and some of the menus. I mean, you get stuck in loops where I had to back out 5 times last night. Because, yes, the servers are broken, the player hosting is broken, but they don't try to rob you with loot boxes.
Right.
Yeah.
The game is fun. It's just really, really damaged. And that's just a patch. It's a couple of software fixes, but they're not going to try to rob you with money. And on the bad side, their season pass is the same price as a stinking game, which is crazy, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's $60 for the season pass?
Yes.
What?
Yes. No
kidding. People
are
complaining about Dragon Ball FighterZ's $5
yeah.
extra one.
Yeah. But see, these have like, I mean, they're like any other game. They designed this game to be a 3-year play because the last Call of Duty came out was a 3-year play game.
Right.
And so they just now shut down basically the service for Black Ops 3. So, you know, $60, if you're that dedicated to it, which I really doubt that I am unless somebody buys it for me for Christmas, feel free to buy it for me, anybody, if you want to. but I don't know. I just don't. I enjoy it. I just don't know if I enjoy it that much. I don't know if I want to commit to it, if I want to get down on one knee and propose to it for $60.
So. You know what I do now?
Yeah.
I've done with recent games now is that, like, for certain games, I think, like, Tekken, I waited to see what they were offering because they didn't announce anything that they were offering until, like, later on. And when they started mentioning Geese Howard coming in, I was like, okay, I'm buying into that. They're bringing back Tekken Bowls coming back. Okay, that's warranted enough. And there's two other modes that's coming out, too, that they haven't announced, but I guarantee one of them is Tekken Force. And then now they just recently announced Noctis from Final Fantasy VII, which I think is, like, great, both great and weird to bring in. But that's the part when I was like, okay, that is good enough for me to, you know, get the season pass. They're giving me something really cool here. Same with Injustice. I mean, the big bombshell announcement of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they haven't, in my opinion, they delivered majorly on getting the Ultimate Edition. I really enjoyed spending the money on the Ultimate Edition that they've gotten, so I have no complaints. But this new system that they're doing, this is borderline robbery.
Yeah.
By
I think-
far.
And the worst part is they you know, they issued their apologies, and at first they cut the price of the loot box by 75%, but now they've in the thing that should be highlighted in every article that should be in boldface, they temporarily stopped the loot system. So, you know, once the backlash and the firestorm has gone away and people forget about it, they're gonna put
right
it back
again.
In the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is stupid. This is obvious, man. And you know what's the worst about this whole thing? It loses the art. It takes away the art and integrity of video games. You know, you're supposed to be focused on and be at all at what you see, what the game experience and everything. And it just takes you away when they try to just milk you for every bit of money that they have. And it's sad. This is a really sad part for the gaming industry itself. I think they really need to go back to formula and really figure out what to do. I miss the days where you could just unlock something by code or by, you know, secret.
Yep. Or just by playing a stupid game, you know?
Yeah, just by playing the game.
That's it. That's all we ask for. I mean, geez. Let's move on here to some better news. We finally get to see what we've been waiting for forever, and it feels like literally legit forever. We went through a assortment of car movies to get to this damn point, people.
Yep. I don't know what held them up.
I don't understand, but it's finally here. They finally announced it. We got to see. Thank you to the Oracle of ACMG. That would be Megan Walsh. She posted the trailer to Incredibles 2. And if only for 28 seconds, it was some of the best 28 seconds that I ever got to see in a long time. And first of all, I love the logo. I loved what they did with the baby. Craig T. Nelson's actually working again. Thank you. Coach is back. I've never been so happy to see a Pixar film. It's so long. Lou, what was your impressions of this?
Oh, man. See, that it's amazing. Sebastian loves the first one. He watches it about once every 4 days because I let him, because I love watching it too. But I'm seriously psyched about it. I mean, that's going to be one that I take him to the theaters to see.
Absolutely.
It's going to be amazing. I'm so happy that they're back, and Jack-Jack was, you know, we ended the movie with Jack-Jack, like, flipping out. So... I'm really excited about it. I'm really psyched, and it took them way too long. I can't wait to hear. I'm pretty sure Samuel L. Jackson and Frozone has a bigger role in this movie than they did before.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And how the kids have evolved, and definitely the mom, which I always thought was really, really, really cool. So it's a great family thing, and I can't wait.
And Rob, what about you? What was your impression of that?
Oh, I was so happy because we've been waiting so long. This is way, way overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And odd choice to keep it like in the same era, but still that, you know, it just continues on the story that we all love. And from the first one with, I would assume now everybody is more accepting of superheroes again. So we'll be able to see a lot more nonsense in superhero battles, supervillain battles without, you know, hiding. Yeah. No capes.
Now,
people getting sucked in the jack.
Yeah, right. Somebody brought up a great question or a great suggestion of this, and I want to get your guys' opinion on it. Would you want to see an evolved version of the family this time, like the kids older and stuff with a little bit more evolution, or do you want to keep them the same age? Rob, I'll start with you. Would you want to see any evolution of the characters like that?
Age-wise? No, not age-wise. I would like to see evolution in their development as, you know, with their powers and stuff. But I think keep to what we know, you know, don't change it like this is a, you know, 10 years later Harry Potter kind of movie, you know.
Yeah. Which I've still never really focused and seen one Harry Potter film yet. And when I tried, I could not. I don't. Maybe I'll be a late bloomer with that, but you don't like the fact that they actually evolved?
No. Well, I mean, that's naturally going to happen because, I mean, they're real people. They're going to grow. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. But
Unless you're a
Simpson.
Yeah. So, a Simpson or you're in South Park or something. But
Yeah, I
like the fact that they're keeping it, like, basically maybe months after the first movie or something like that. So, I would just like to see an evolution in their abilities and not so much their physicalness.
Yeah, Jab's gonna be the new Franklin Richards.
Yeah,
I can see that coming now.
Pretty amazing.
Would you want to see them evolve, or what's your take on that?
No, I want to see. I mean, Jack, even if they, if this, you know, let's just think outside of the box. This is just a teaser, and then they show up with Jack actually being around 2 years old. That would be cool.
Yeah, but yeah, because that's like terrible teaser. And that's when you start blitzing out.
Exactly. I got one upstairs right now. I can hear him. But. No, I don't want them to push too far past where they left off, because I think that would leave a big blank space, and that would be, oh, what happened here? What happened there? No, pick up where you left off 10 years ago, for Pete's sake, and just keep on running with it, because with today's technology and today's fan base, and they're hitting a whole new fan base at this point, waiting this long.
Oh, my God. It's a generation.
It's a whole new generation.
Yeah, I think millennials up, when that was out.
I think picking up where they left off is smart, because it leaves them more wiggle room to push further on past this one and not lose continuity with what they had years ago. So it's a smart move.
Time out, Lou. Wasn't this movie out during the Bush era?
No, maybe.
This was not out during Obama's era.
I think it was 10 years ago that it came out. I want to say 9 plus years. Let's put it that way. 9 plus years.
I gotta see that. I swear to goodness, Bush was just rather leaving office. or God, I gotta look back at this. It's been a long time, man.
It's 04 when it came out.
I hope they really don't do that same thing to Wreck-It Ralph. I know there's a sequel that said it was coming, but there's also Kingdom Hearts 2 that's coming too, and we know how that went.
Yeah, so. Robert said 2004. So by the time it gets released, it'll be 14 years from release to re-release. That's crazy. So
millennials. My God.
Yep.
So all right. So two bits of news left here. One is based on a trailer that we all seen just recently. I believe Terrence brought out, but we also seen it again. I'm sure you guys seen it again during the trailers for Justice League. And we're going back to your man Dwayne Johnson, who can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants in this case.
He can. I mean, granted, everything's not great, but he can do whatever he wants to do.
He came a long way getting himself out of Southland Tales and Doom.
Yes. Yes, he did. He's come a long way. It's just that not everything that he does is a home run, well, and these two are going to
I'm going to put my money that this might actually possibly, just possibly work. Just a slight possibly work. I don't know why, but for some reason, somebody felt that they had a childhood memory of an old video game and wanted to make a major movie out of this, costing millions of dollars of revenue to make this movie. We're getting Rampage. Think about it for a minute. Page of all games.
Well, it's like he has an obsession with gigantic animals right now, because you have, what's that one coming out? Jumanji. Yeah, then he has this one coming out also.
Yeah,
I watched the trailer right before we started. Yeah. It looks pretty good. I like the heart string pull about him being such a animal lover, which mm-hmm. is awesome. And Negan's in it, for Pete's sake. I can't remember the guy's real name.
Jeffrey
Dean Morgan.
Yeah, not Negan. It's forever going to be his name.
But he knew his bad part. He kind of acts Negan-esque.
Yeah,
watching
the trailer, and he's like, did you forget what show you're on, Jeffrey?
Yeah. He's like, oh, you haven't heard about the 30-foot wolf? And he kind of does the Negan lean. I'm like, what? No, stop. Put the bat away.
Shit-eating grin he has.
Yeah, exactly.
Little pig, let me in.
Yeah, so Rampage looks fun. It's gonna be.
Oh, Joe Manganiello's in it too, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get to that in a second too. Joe Manganiello.
Oh yeah.
So, but yes, it looks fun. It actually, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking Titanfall 2 with fur. That's what it looks like to me. So.
Wilson.
Not Titanfall. What is that movie? Is it Titanfall?
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim 2. Yeah. Pacific Rim 2.5 with fur, so yeah. Whatever.
What was your impressions of this, Rob?
I don't know. Honestly, I know I'm going to see it. I'm probably going to suspend all disbelief because this is just it looks like a great popcorn flick. You know, you're not going in there expecting this, you know, Oscar-winning performance. You're just going in there to watch The Rock do what The Rock does.
Rampage.
Yeah, basically.
I just think about it. I had to try to explain to my wife and show her footage of what they got this from. And it's like, I can't believe somebody tried to make sense out of this. And
I know.
Go
ahead. I was going to say, when I was watching the end of it, the only thing in my mind was, where the hell is Lizzie?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, oh, wait, there he is. Okay.
But I like how they did that, too, because they knew exactly we were asking the question during the trailer.
Yeah.
He's like, the one thing that's missing is a big crocodile.
Oh, wait, there it is.
So, I mean, how it happened, too, is going to be interesting, too, because if you remember the old game, all three of them were based on like humans that have an experiment done wrong to them. Instead, this is like some type of a gas that's leaking, and they got exposed to it, and it's making them grow more. So mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a different premise from the actual game, which I can't believe I said that the game actually has a premise. but it's going to happen, and I can't help to be intrigued by this. And actually Jumanji too, in this to some respect. So I'm going to put money in this. I'm gonna ticket this. So definitely. So we'll see. This is 2018 that's coming out?
Yeah, 420, which is amazingly enough.
Yeah. Ironically enough, 420. Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm way more convinced that this is a possibility of working more than Battleship. Like, there was no rhyme or reason for that movie to come out. Like, you come out with a movie based on a Milton Bradley game, and then you add on a whole bunch of other content to it that was totally irrelevant. There was no spaceships in that game whatsoever. So
they basically made it a battleship, or they made it a Transformers movie without the word Transformers in it.
Seriously, I still have not watched that movie to this day, but that might be one of the WTF theater picks that me and Terrence might have to watch, because I refuse to even put money on that one at all. So last bit of news that we're going to talk right now, we're going to talk like not thoroughly through the list, because I've done this on Select Start and it's a long list of categories and everything, but I wanted you guys to check, you guys got a chance to see it. The Game Awards is coming out on December 7th, I believe, and this is going to be a huge year for a lot of reasons. A big year. I mean, Nintendo Switch has come along, really made waves here. You got this is technically the year of fighting games on a large scale, like in years. And I wanted to get you guys, opinion on this. Like, what categories are you most likely intrigued by this list that you've seen? And who do you think is going to get the win for you, or who are you rooting for this year? So, Lou, I'll start with you. You run it down the line. You see
of course.
What categories you're into, and what are your predictions?
Oh, man. Of course, I'm going to say Horizon Zero Dawn for everything, because it was an amazing game. Oh, man. Let me get this freaking viewer up, because I got lost. Where did it go? Bloop, bloop, bloop. There she is. Okay, Horizon Zero Dawn, of course, is going to be my top pick for most things. Mm-hmm. I think multiplayer of the year, if they try to get PUBG into game of the year, I really think that's going to be a push, because that game is still in beta, for Pete's sake. Everybody's playing it, but it's still in beta. Mm-hmm. Game of the year, of course, blah blah blah. Best art direction, I'm gonna go with Cuphead on art direction, because I haven't played it, but it looks amazing, and I love the whole, it reminds me of Betty Boop and
yeah, the old school 30s style of animation, frame by frame. We don't make animation like that anymore.
No, they don't. They nominated Destiny 2 for soundtrack. No, Destiny 2 sounds like Gears of War, kind of like cranked up. Not bad, but it's very Gears of War-ish. It sounds like most of those space shoot-up video games. Audio will definitely, I don't know. I don't know about audio. Performance-wise, I'm going to skip that one, because...
you don't know anybody from that
room. No, I've played... I like Claudia Black from Uncharted. Beautiful. I love the way that they handled that character. Biggest impact. What? No, get away from me.
Yeah, there's some categories in there. Just like, all right.
This is some weird stuff. But yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think I covered most of what I want to talk about. The action game.
Yeah.
Let me see. No. But yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn. Of course, Horizon Zero Dawn is going to get a whole lot of nods. The Mario is going to get a whole lot of nods. I really think that people are... Some of the games that are nominated, like, Mario Odyssey got nominated. That's only been out, a couple of weeks?
But
like that.
The deal is, here's the deal, and I can vouch for this. It's very easy to beat the main story, and the main story is amazing.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was going to have time to be nominated, and whether it was going to make the cut, and it's already made the cut in a few other people's awards, too. But I managed to beat it within the course of 24 hours, so it doesn't really take that long to play. But what you're playing inside of that game is absolutely amazing, and it's a great homage to all of the Mario. Terrence said it best. It's a love letter to what made Mario so great, and you come out smiling as if you watched a Marvel movie.
Okay.
It's amazing.
I think Cuphead's going to make a lot of noise. Of course, Horizon Zero Dawn. Of course, Mario. And you know me, what I'm going to automatically say is that Mario gets there because, A, it is a good credited game. Mm-hmm. But, B, it's the name. We haven't seen it in a while. It's on a brand new system. Kind of like, I can't forget, Legend of Zelda is definitely going to get a whole lot of nods, because it is Legend of Zelda. A lot of people have been waiting for a very long time.
And it met all expectations.
Yeah. Absolutely stupendous game. I haven't found anybody that hasn't liked it yet.
Yeah.
So, okay, just Horizon Zero Dawn is going to walk away with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda's going to walk away with some stuff. I don't want Mario to, because I still think that it's a little too fresh-faced for it.
It is very fresh-faced.
And it got the nod by the name and everything else like that. No disrespect.
No, it's not just by the name. I wish I could say it was just by the name, but I'm serious. And I think Terrence can, because he's played it too. The gameplay is unbelievable. And trust me, I just play Sonic Forces.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I know crap when I see it from really good quality.
Yeah, I want the games that have come out like HDD and
just had some ground.
Yeah, that's been around for a while. Well, great.
I agree
They're gonna get their junk. I just, you know, it's the gaming award, so it's like a popularity contest for the most
part. If we know anything about popularity contests, it's us.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Rob, what are the categories you're most likely looking for, and what's your predictions there?
Category wise, I mean, obviously, Game of the Year is usually the one that we're all going for. I'm going to look for the fighting game one too. I hope Injustice gets a nod for it.
Oh, you know what he did.
I'm fairly certain. It's for Game of the Year. It's really a toss up. I think it's going to be between Legend of Zelda and Horizon. Honestly,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Mario, like Lou was saying, is a bit too early, but honestly, in almost all the categories that they're nominated in, Legend of Zelda, Mario, Cuphead, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Destiny 2, I think are going to be the names that you're going to hear a lot during this particular game awards.
Yeah, me, I definitely Game of the Year for me. I think it's going to be... I agree. I do agree with you. It is quick, but with that said, the game is phenomenal. Absolutely unmistakably phenomenal. However, Zelda Breath of the Wild was out way longer. Horizon Zero Dawn was out way longer, both with critically acclaimed fame. I think it's a slight chance that Zelda, given the fact that it got so many 10s and perfect scores, more than anything ever, that might top it. But I also see Horizon Zero Dawn really killing it this year, with definitely some awards coming out of this as well. I'd be surprised, honestly. I think, out of respect, Mario Odyssey got in, because it is a great game, but it is too short that people got into it, but you do manage to get out. But I'd be surprised if that actually wins over any of the two that we just mentioned right there. I kind of wouldn't be surprised, but I will be, because of the, you know, just they got more ground of gameplay than we had there. And plus, both Zelda and Horizon Zero Dawn have now DLC packs that have also come out too, and have been great.
Yeah, exactly. Fact,
did the new one come out for Horizon?
Oh yeah, I got it. Haven't touched it, but I got it.
Yeah, because you know you're ready. You got to settle in.
Yeah, because anytime I power it up and I'm like, all right, I want to play. I look at the clock. I'm like, all right, I got an hour and a half. There's no way I'm gonna get anywhere near close to where I want to be. Yeah.
I need a solid 5 hours to get anywhere.
Yeah, because the DLC was, I think they labeled it as average playtime of 12 hours. I'm like,
that's
entirely
bad.
No, it's not. I mean, that's just straight mission. I'm not talking about side missions. You start shooting off in the jumps, you're talking about 40 hours plus.
It's kind of like Final Fantasy XV's DLC. Like, they just get straight at the action right there.
Yep.
As far as that, I'm actually looking forward to a role-playing game, too, because like you said, you know, Final Fantasy XV is up for grabs, and also against South Park, The Fractured But Whole. As well.
Make sure you say that right.
It's so hard to. they really got a tongue twister with you on that one. Ew, when I think about that. Honestly, I think I'll be surprised because Odyssey that just kind of just jumped in out of the blue. But Final Fantasy XV is almost like Breath of the Wild. It's a spiritual experience that you into. You get engulfed in this entire world. This literally a world that you're traveling in by car and you're. It's such a great experience right there. It was one of the best games I've ever played. I mean, bar none. And the fact that Noctis is going to be in Tekken also is still crazy to me, which just shows how much appreciative they are of that character. But it's really cool. Fighting game of the year.
Injustice 2, hands down.
Hands down. And especially after they dropped the biggest bombshell, I think, in years out of anything. Adding the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into that thing. I mean, we talked about this last week, Rob, but Lou, have you seen the reaction from the internet after that?
Yeah, it's insane. I'm kind of torn, with the choice, because I don't know. It's a turtle. There are four turtles, and in one slot. So it's like, what do you do with this? I think
it's come down to the point that it. I'm thinking two things. We were talking about this. It may be that the skins. Maybe, but you got to also account for the actual weapons.
Yeah.
But after finding out that this is, in fact, that's the entire, you know, season 3 pack, it may be all four of them. separately.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That'd be kind of cool. I mean, shout out to IDW for loaning them to DC for this. So, I don't know. When it comes back around, like I said earlier, I got rid of the game. But when it comes back on sale, I'm probably going to pick it right back up. I just really wanted another game at this point, and that's what I did.
I hear you. But you know what's funny? I'm two selections here that I'm really surprised. ARMS, which is for Nintendo Switch, which I played. I actually just played it because they added a new character to the game. It is a fun game, so I do understand it. But like I'm just surprised against these heavyweights, and I didn't see Guilty Gear in here at all. Or there were other fighting games that came out. The other one, are you guys surprised that Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite made it?
Yes, I am. Seriously. Seriously, I'm a Marvel fan, and I gave that game, you know, money, and I got money back for it. But still, I gave it my attention, and I'm surprised that it got a nod. And I think it was another case of name over anything else. And so,
I mean, it wasn't like it was a bad game by any stretch.
It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't what it should be.
Compared to what Tekken, and even Tekken to the expect, I think Tekken really did a great job this year for this being the final saga of the Mishimas. I thought they did a great job this year with what they did. It was like definitely one of the best of the Tekken series. And they went out with a bang, and they still come out with a bang. We're getting Geese Howard from Fatal Fury. They're bringing in a lot of hardcore fanfare here, because you're getting Geese Howard from Fatal Fury. You're also getting Noctis from Final Fantasy. And I believe there may be another person coming after this. But Injustice is just, it's so freaking deep. You know, just it's customizations. And shout out to Tekken for giving you the most fight money out of all three of these damn games mentioned. I mean, they give you a hoard of cash in that game. I think they should win on the fact that we end up millionaires by the time this game over, just for getting customizations and everything off of that alone. But no, Injustice, I mean, the story mode was phenomenal. It looks phenomenal. Just overall, I would be so surprised if they don't win that nod there. So, anything else that comes to your mind in this game series? And will you guys ever actually watch it? It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on IGN. I mean, they literally stream it everywhere.
I mean, I might watch it. I might give it a look, but it's not something I'm definitely going to, you know, dedicate myself to. Yeah. I'm going to pay attention to the results.
Yeah,
just because.
That's probably what I'll do too.
Yeah, it's the results that are really going to light the internet on fire. So we'll see what happens.
I tell you what, they got one more category I want to bring up before we end this whole entire segment. And I don't understand why this is a thing, because this is actually going to, this should piss people off. Most anticipated game presented by McCafe. This seems like a gimmick category. McDonald's is actually sponsoring this.
Yeah, it's gimmick. Just not even talk about it. That's just crazy.
So wait.
There was another category that was brought to you by Sheik Hydro.
What?
See?
Yeah.
No, what,
I forget
Sheik...
which one it was, but I was reading it. It was sort of one of the ones towards the bottom.
Sheik actually was nominated. They sponsored the show last year. I remember this, so, because John Tobias, who was the other guy who created Mortal Kombat, did a little thing on there, and it was really crappy, if I remember correctly. And I was like, oh, this is why he's no longer teaming up with Ed Boon. if Ed Boon and John Tobias is the EPMD of gaming, John Tobias is PMD.
Mm-hmm.
Bar none. Ed Boon is Eric Sermon. Bobby, wow, we know the difference. We knew who was the strong point of that one. But The Last of Us 2 is up for not. Red Dead Redemption 2 is up for not. Monster Hunter World, which is actually should be coming out very soon. That's probably the only guaranteed game that is set to come out. Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man, which is scheduled for quote-unquote 2018. And God of War, which is scheduled for early 2018. So, in your opinion, which one are you more anticipating?
Oh, man. Last of Us 2, to be honest.
Yeah. It looks beautiful. Oh my God! Did you see the newest trailer to that?
I did. It's insane. It's sick.
It is the hammer.
it's kind of crazy, and I'm looking forward to it because of the fact that it's real. I mean, The Last of Us 2. I haven't finished it because I don't want to finish it. Does that make any sense to you?
If it makes any sense to you, that I understand from playing what is it? The Walking Dead video game and finding out the results of that? Yes. Ever since the first Walking Dead game, I'm always afraid to finish off the other games because I don't want Clementine to die. They already killed off one of my all-time favorite characters in Lee, and I'm like, dude, this is too intense. So I get it. I totally get it, man.
I think that's the one I want to win, but I think Red Dead Redemption is probably the one that's going to win because people have been wanting a sequel to that game forever.
That was like 2008. 2008.
Yeah. And when they dropped the trailer for that, a lot of people got really hype. So I think that one is probably the one that's going to take the category.
And by gimmick, it could be Spider-Man too. Not just because I want it to come out. It has nothing to do with that. But if you remember, they made a big focus on it at E3. So
yeah.
I would not be surprised if they pick it. But honestly, I agree with you two. I think between The Last of Us and Red Dead should be the ones. God of War is there, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. It'll be interesting. But I agree. Like, The Last of Us just looks insanely intense. And it was like the type of feel that I had when Tomb Raider first came out. And they showed the trailer to that. And they showed that this is not the same Tomb Raider that you're playing. So, yeah, we'll see about that. But it's coming out December 7th. If you guys want to check it out, it'll be on an IGN. It'll be on a YouTube. GameStop might be playing it as well. If you got the IGN app on your respective systems, so you can find it there and check it out live stream as well. So we'll see. Jeff Keighley, who's the guy who does it too, he does, shout out to him, because that's the guy who I believe he created GameTrailers.com, if you remember that deal. He was on G4 all the time. Now he created this, you know, deal for gamers in general. So we'll see how that goes. And ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of What's New in the World of ACMG. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and finally talk about the much anticipated, see what we thought about, Justice League from DC Films. We'll do that right after this.
We bring you the hottest guests in the world of ACMG.
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
Hey, what's happening? This is TC Carson.
This is Amanda Celine Miller, the voice of Boruto and Sailor Jupiter.
Hi guys, this is Ruben Langdon.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Hi there, this is Vic Mignogna.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
And you are listening.
You're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Hadouken!
Here's your easy access to all of the hottest guests we had on Talk Time Live. Just go to www.acmgwarpzone.com/exclusives or go to the exclusives tab on the left of the website.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
And now, it's time for your talk topic of the week. Ready? Fight!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is our talk topic of the week, and of course, it's talking all things Justice League right now. The movie, much anticipated movie, has been waiting to come out for quite some time. It's finally here. We got a chance to see it, and we're going to get our overall thoughts of this, as well as characters that we thought excelled or did not, or you know, and then also predictions on what we're going to see next as well, and favorite scenes as well. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to say, I'm definitely, we've talked about this on the Facebook group, Lou, but I'm going to give you my extended version of what I was saying here. I thought the movie itself was absolutely good, and you hear the affliction now. So it's good in a way that I came out of there satisfied. I was very satisfied that this worked out the way that I felt like it should have worked out. I thought everybody played their part properly. I felt the scenes were great. The special effects were great. The Steppenwolf antagonist was really good. I actually loved the way they designed him and the way he looks and everything. I like the hidden things that we got to see. But at the same time, for some damn reason, I was not thrilled with it. And I'm trying to still figure out, maybe I got to go see it again. But I just for some reason, I was like, okay, this is a good movie. I didn't come out of there feeling like I had, you know, this was a hell of a ride type of feel. But I felt this was definitely good. Will I watch it again? Hell yes, I'll watch it again. It's really good. Like, in fact, I feel like this is where Batman vs. Superman should have been at. And this is the way I felt that this was the movie that should have really capitalized on everything instead of doing it justice. Because of what they've done with that movie. And I'll still watch that movie too, but I think I'll enjoy Justice League way better than I did with Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. So I mean, I definitely enjoyed it. It did feel like the Justice League. There were some definite character performances that I really liked, but it was good. And I'll leave it at that. You know, I and me being not a DC fan too, I don't know if that plays a factor in it or not. But I don't think it should, because I loved Wonder Woman, at the same time. But nonetheless, it left me like saying, okay, I definitely want to see more of this. I want to see what's going to happen from this point on, because they did leave some things. And I think this is a good start to something building up really good in here. So that's my take on it for the overall point. What was your experience with that, Lou?
Oh, loved it. Overall, amazing movie. Definite eye candy. There weren't, for me, there weren't a lot of holes in it.
Yeah.
I was reading, I actually watched a IGN video review on it on YouTube, mm-hmm. and they were like, the top five questions the top five questions left asking after the movie was over. And I watched it, and I was like, you know what? And I responded to the video, and I said, listen, if you want to know what all this means, read a book. And somebody replied to it. Somebody replied to my comment and said, well, I really think a movie should not leave people, should answer all the questions. And I was like, apparently you've never read or watched Harry Potter. Apparently you've never read or watched Lord of the Rings, because right. You can't cover everything.
No,
so,
you can't. Oh, God, no. The mythologies span for generations.
Exactly. And so I was looking, I look at the movie. I loved it. I loved the way the characters interacted. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was a lot more fun. You could definitely tell the Joss Whedon influence on the movie. It wasn't glaring, but mm-hmm. it was definitely needed.
Subtle.
You know, there's only so many stoic characters you can throw at a series.
Yeah.
Overall, I think that the movie was definitely what DC needed. I'm a DC fan. Mm-hmm. I'm like a 51-49 DC Marvel fan. Take it whichever way you want to do it. But graphically beautiful. CG was a little iffy with Cyborg's neck. He looked like
I didn't notice that.
His neck was all over the place with me.
Remember, he's ever evolving, especially at what you saw at the end.
Yeah, and that was my thing, is that his armor looked like he was the sixth Power Ranger for the most part. I didn't mind it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, I didn't mind it because I looked past it because I was looking at the character itself, not really his armor. Man.
Well, it makes
overall
sense at the end, too, because, I mean, if you remember Justice League War?
Yeah.
They kind of did the same thing, where he was just like this. He didn't really have form yet, and then he started creating form afterwards.
Yeah.
So I saw where they were going with that.
Overall, it was a spectacular movie. I love the characters. I love the way that they interacted. And it was like I hate to say it, but the interaction with them was kind of like the Avengers at the very beginning when they were just kind of like thrown together. So, yeah, dug it.
Mm-hmm. Rob, what was your overall take on it?
I thought it was a really good movie, definitely. I told my wife when I got out of the movie, it was a little bit of a step back from Wonder Woman, but definitely a very huge gated step forward from Batman versus Superman.
Absolutely.
You can tell that they are focusing less on the damage control and just taking what they have now, and they're moving forward with it into the perfectly right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the characters were really great. I did have some issues with Cyborg's CG as well. But the actor who played him did him perfectly.
He did it great, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was just that for whatever design they decided to do with him just didn't seem to be that visually pleasing and did not work, especially when he was doing a lot of movement. It did not seem to work too well. And also I was laughing that you could the CG was so bad on them getting that that mustache off of Henry Cavill.
I forgot about that.
You could tell his freaking lip was CG'd. But beyond that, everything else was put together really well. I had a little bit of a issue with the pacing of the movie, similar to how Batman vs. Superman's was, but I think that's because this probably should have been a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
And trying to cram all that into two, you're going to have some issues later. So I think when the Ultimate Edition comes out, which I'm fairly guaranteed they're going to have a director's cut Ultimate Edition. So we'll probably get a 3-hour Justice League that'll probably even be better than this.
Zack Snyder, to be honest. I mean, like, you still, he has to extend things.
Yep.
Upset that we didn't get to see a lick of Darkseid, even though they didn't mention him? Anybody?
No, I'm not. I'm not, because they're
absolutely not expecting him.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting him either. They're treating him I'm not comparing people. Please do not say that I'm comparing Marvel and DC. They're treating him like Thanos.
Right.
So I respect that. You know, Darkseid's going to be the big payoff, and I really respect the fact that they're hinting on it. It's great. I mean, I want them to draw this out as long as they possibly can because I'm a fan. I want to see it. I want to see all this stuff. You know, this is not going to be the lack of better analogy. This is not going to be the titty bar experience where you walk in and get everything that you want all at once.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And honestly, they need to do that considering they rushed Doomsday so bad. I mean, that was a character. I mean, literally, Batman versus Superman. And I told this to somebody. I was talking to somebody the other day. Batman versus Superman literally is the Spider-Man 3 of DC in every stretch.
Yeah,
they had too many main villains trying to, you know, collaborate together. One of the villains that they had, they should have saved for a whole nother movie for himself because he's that, you know, their Doomsday is is Marvel's Venom.
Yeah,
equally. Very popular characters during that time and era, and they deserved their own spot and not being with anybody else. I can't disagree with you guys. Now, we talk about actors here. Anybody stood out for you as, you know, a really good performance and as well as maybe not so good a performance in this movie? Lou, I'll start with you.
Oh, man. The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely stupendous. I mean, granted, yes, Grant Gustafson, shout out to you, bud. I really think that this character with that cast,
yeah,
was perfect.
It worked.
He was hyperactive, and I leaned over to my wife at one point when he was running around the Batcave, and I said, that is Sebastian right there. And she busted out laughing because it's true. He eats everything. It was stupendous. I love the way The Flash was. Aquaman, Jason Momoa is my homie. I really dug the way that he handled things.
Yeah.
Cyborg, the actor, was great. The CGI wrapped around
him. I got to watch it again just for this part, because I swear to goodness, I did not pay attention to that.
His neck was all over the place. But
yeah, it was. It was.
Sometimes I was actually eating in Movie Tavern or something like that.
The Flash was the showstopper. Of course, Superman, when he woke up, that was amazing. Uh-huh. I loved everything about the movie. But the Flash stole the show. And I really think that my wife even said, she's like, I don't know how I feel about that, because she's used to the Flash on television.
Uh-huh.
And this hyperactive, spastic-ass teenager was exactly what this show needed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, with this...
Don't you take him away from the show.
No. I think it played well. It was definitely the fit. The fit was great.
Well,
I think Grant would have been a little bit more low key, but this is the Flash that they needed for this movie because of all the other big heavy hitters.
Yeah.
He was the lightweight that would, you know, he had no idea what he was doing. He was more green than Cyborg was.
Yeah.
Because Cyborg's armor knew what to do. So even if he didn't want to do it. So, yeah.
Right. You know, it's funny that you said that, too, because, you know, when they first announced that they were doing a new Flash, everybody got upset because we are all Grant Gustafson fans. But the universe that they're in, I agree. I can really sit there and say, like, yeah, Grant wouldn't fit in this world. As good as an actor he is and how great of a Flash that he is, they got their own niche universe, and these guys got their own niche universe, you know, which it is too dark and dim for him to be on that type of surface there. I don't even think I would like him to be in that setting, because it would feel odd now that we see it. Rob, what about you? Who stood out for you, or who didn't stood out for you in this movie?
Well, Gal always stands out.
Damn, put her
in the center stage. Yeah. She kills it anytime she's on screen, you know, no matter what. When she's in those tight-ass leather pants, or whether she's in the... If she's in her suit. So, Flash.
Yeah, side note, when she got out of the car to go meet Cyborg,
yes,
and she had on all that leather, my wife said, well, damn, that's an outfit.
And you sitting there like, that's an outfit. Myself, that's a damn shame. She goes
to
church.
I'm thinking to myself, do I respond to this comment?
This is a trap.
Yeah, so I just took a big drink of the Slurpee. I was like,
the exact scene that I had in my mind.
Every guy in the theater, I guarantee you, was like, in their head. It's like, God damn. There's a lot of goddamn moments in this movie too.
Yeah. Sorry, Rob. Didn't mean to bulldoze you. Sorry.
It's all good. I was gonna say the Flash. He was great. I think he helped. He helped lighten the moods. Mm-hmm. Him being that green hero that has no idea what he's doing. The wisecracking. A lot of his jokes were pretty good. Oh crap face when he was running up on Superman and you see Superman turning and looking at him. He's like, how the hell does he see me?
That was very funny.
Do
you wonder if that was that a Joss Whedon scene or was that already intent? Because
I don't know. I want to say it's a Joss Whedon.
That feels very Joss Whedon right there.
I think that probably was.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen enough Zack Snyder's to know that he barely does anything that really interesting. But I thought that was hilarious. Like that, I think that was one of the times that the crowd in my theater actually reacted.
Yep.
It just looked creepy as hell when he did that too. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Trying to think. I know Aquaman was. He was great. I didn't like a lot of his like surfer bro moments, mm-hmm. but the rest of him was perfect for his character. I know he's not. I had to keep in the back of my mind. Okay, he's not the king yet, mm-hmm. so he's not all. He doesn't have that regalness behind or about him yet. So I put that behind me. So I wasn't really too bothered by the way that he did things. Superman was great. It was good to see a Superman that wasn't just all pissed off and angry.
Right.
Just have it. I don't know if it was the movie or did his costume look like a bit more colorful, a lot lighter in color?
They did that on purpose.
Yeah, I think the vibrance.
Okay.
Yeah, the saturation and vibrance is a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, overall, all of the characters in they all worked very well together. They all complemented each other, and I like the way that they did that. The only thing that I really hated was Jesse Eisenberg.
Well, all right.
Still, I still hate that.
I'm going to counter that. I'm going to counter that in my opinion. And I'll say why. Because I'll start with him. He was only in there for a second, but I felt something different about him that I didn't see in Batman versus Superman when he was just becoming this. He seems like he's becoming a bit evolved in his character just for that second. Like, he might not be the same Jokerish type of thing. And by the way, did you guys ever even notice the whole Joker reference?
Oh yeah.
In that scene? Okay. So I'm gonna keep my reserves with Jesse until I see him again in another film completely. But I feel like he was, you know, the more dressed up, bald headed, established looking Lex that we wanted to see out of Bryan Cranston is starting to form. So I just took a little bit of significance of that one right there. I'm actually going to give Ben Affleck a little credit. I actually did not mind the little bit of a open, lighthearted, sort of kind of embracive version of Bruce Wayne here. You know, I felt like he was in between a Super Friends Batman and still the normal Dark Knight style of Batman. Like he was vulnerable. So vulnerable in this one.
Yeah, literally, and you know, emotionally and physically, he was very vulnerable through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very apologetic for basically causing everything by going after Superman.
Yeah. Oh, and especially that. But also, you know, he felt defeat. He just didn't feel like every religious thing that we always hear from fans here. And I'm glad that they turned him up from that. Like, all right, he's a great character, but he should not be the guy that is spearheading everything else. And they kind of put the feeling back into Superman being the main guy mm-hmm. in this thing, too. So I thought that was very interesting where they were going with that. That's because it was like almost like saying, yeah, Wolverine should not be at the front of the helm of the X-Men. And this was kind of the deal with me with Batman all the time. I mean, every once in a while he takes over, but not like to that extent. And I like the way he portrayed Bruce and, you know, his version of Bruce and Batman. I think he did pretty good. I give him credit for that. Superman absolutely was a great deal. Gal Gadot definitely was the highlight of this movie. Partner, like she stood out so much in this film, especially now that she was way more established. I love the fight scene with her in there too. I mean, they really did a great job on her. Absolutely, the Flash, definitely MVP. Case note, I dig the suit design because it looked like he just put stuff together.
Yeah, and it's all wired together and stuff.
Yeah, the thing is that he did it. He did it by himself. There was there's no Wayne tech. There's no nothing. He was just what he has.
Hey, you leave Spider-Man alone. I see what you did there.
No, I didn't. No, it's just he was using what he used, and Bruce had nothing to do with it. Bruce just picked him up while he's eating pizza. So yeah, no, definitely not yet.
I got a feeling. Yeah, I got a feeling that's going to change by the time they get to the sequel. But it made sense. It understood. He's on his own. He's squatting and stuff like that. So the fact that he was able to do that, man, he should get a job in fashion in no time.
Yeah.
It was cool. Jason Momoa. I would say Jason Momoa was good for me because he came off. He say what you will, he's probably the best version of an Aquaman that we're ever going to see that's going to bring people to the respect and limelight of Aquaman at this case. And, it's just one of those deals right there. Jeremy Irons, for what it's worth, he did pretty good in there, too. I don't know too much about the Stephen Wolf character, and I will actually watch the video that you showed, Rob, to learn more. But he intrigued me enough to want to learn more about him. So, and I thought they did his CGI pretty damn good. It was beautifully detailed and such. So, overall, there wasn't really a bad, portrayal of anybody. Even J.K. Simmons is, which is still weird me out that J. Jonah Jameson is now Commissioner Gordon. So,
yeah, he saw the position open on Glassdoor. He went for it. So it's like,
I am not mad at him at all. Make that money. But he did pretty damn good as a Commissioner Gordon. So, I mean, this was a good movie. I didn't see a really bad portrayal. And again, this is based on the comic book. So, like, you can only expect but so much. But, I've seen worse. I've seen way worse than this. And this is one of them by far. Favorite scenes that you guys loved? Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, man. The favorite scene overall is Superman Wake Up. That's forever what I'm going to call it, because he manhandled those fools. I thought Diana was actually going to have, give him a run for the money. And she kind of got a little bit on him. But he was like, yeah, he said, no, I don't care what this lasso does. I'm going to beat you. And then he picked Bruce up by his chin. I thought he was going to. I was like, what?
Choke slam. That was definitely a Joss Whedon moment.
Undertaker. Coosh. But no. the Superman wake up scene is forever. It's still stuck in my brain. I can't wait till I can watch it over and over again. And of course, in a close second is the Steppenwolf war, scene with the Amazonians, the Atlanteans.
Oh,
and
that was great.
That was amazing. I still don't know who the lightning flingers were. I think they may have been Atlantean when, the guy was shooting lightning.
The past of the, mother.
Yeah.
I thought that was Zeus.
I think it was Zeus. Cause he mentioned he fought the old gods, and the old gods are the old pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. But yeah, I thought the sewer fight scene was kind of the one that we saw in all of the trailers.
Yeah.
I really thought that was the worst fight scene of them all. But
it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, it was a hot mess. So take that away. I mean, that being the worst fight scene is not a bad thing, because then the rest of them were great.
Right.
But yeah, of course, like I said at the beginning, the Superman wake up scene, probably the best one, and just showing unadulterated, uncut power coming from the most powerful being in the DC universe was just amazing. And he just was flinging people around like rag dolls. And when, like Robert said, when he whipped his head around and looked at Flash dead in the face.
Literally the crowd in my theater just woke up right there. Because it was just so, it was so slow and heavy and scary and like creepy at the same time. And
that wasn't even the best part, is when he dropped everybody and then started trading blows with Barry.
Yeah.
And he was almost hitting him, and Barry was like freaked out because he's never been touched. It's like, okay.
And he just goes into straight defense mode trying to get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's pressing back on the D-pad the whole time. It's like, what are you doing?
But it also intrigued Barry to want to actually race him too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. And yeah, that was my favorite scene, hands down.
Rob, what you got?
Mine are the same. Those are definitely the two best scenes in the movie, honestly.
Yeah.
For the fight with the first fight with Steppenwolf with the Amazons and the Atlanteans fighting, mm-hmm. the Green Lantern ring was probably the best part of that.
Yes.
I forget the race. I think it's the four-armed race. There's a couple of them in the Lantern Corps, but that establishes them in this universe at least, so that's good. It probably goes to Abin Sur after that, and then to Hal Jordan, because it didn't really say how long ago that was it?
Right.
Did they?
No, they did not.
Yeah. So, but establishing that was good. The Superman wake up scene was great. Mm-hmm. I knew they were going to bring in Lois to snap him out of his funk there. I really wish they would have put a little more into what it took to wake him back up, instead of mm-hmm. just be like, oh, hey, we have his body. Let's just throw him in his spaceship and then throw the mother box at him and see what happens. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They should at least have one of them have some sort of evidence to base all that on, to think that his body is not really dead or something, you know. They just kind of had a hunch, and then they were just, and then it all just happened to work out, you know, in like 5 minutes.
Now, if memory serves me correct, and I might just be basing this on the animated version of this, does he have two hearts?
No.
Oh, no.
I swear, have you watched the animated movie of Batman, The Death of Batman? I mean, Superman?
I haven't seen it in a while.
That one is probably the worst of all of their animated ones. It really is terrible.
If I remember correctly, the man was supposedly had two hearts. One fractured, and he had another one. And that one just started beating again for some reason. I swear to goodness, I gotta go back and watch that that movie. I get that was the belief
in the comics.
In
the comics, they said that he completely depleted his store of solar energy and was knocked unconscious, but his body went into like a stasis, mm-hmm. to where his heart would beat like once a day kind of thing. And when he died, or quote unquote died, mm-hmm. the Eradicator woke up and brought him to this Fortress of Solitude, where he was put into a healing chamber, and that's why he came back with his mullet and his black suit, which I'm kind of sad we didn't get to see the mullet, honestly. I wanted to see Super Mullet.
You're right. Take all the hair off of Harry Cavill's lip and throw it on the back of his head.
There you go.
Would have been good. You know what? I think you're talking about the Mother Box thing, where they just said, oh, this will work. I compare that to when Black Widow was shooting aliens with bullets and it was actually working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I think about. I'm like, yeah, well, they kind of dipped him and took a guess. But they took a guess that Widow's 9mm and .45 caliber would actually kill aliens in New York City.
You know what she's talking about? Transformers.
I kind of laughed because I thought about it. People complained. And I was like, you know what? Black Widow killed aliens with bullets. So... let's kind of think about this. And then Hawkeye had a bunch of arrows. Like, they took a wild guess at this, and it worked. So why can't a magical box wake up Superman? Come on, people. Put some perspective in your geekdom.
Just throw it in the garbage. Just throw it in the garbage.
Exactly. It's a wash.
Well, yeah, I can't help but to agree with you guys and say, like, the wake up Superman scene, it was also great. Also did like him gathering the gathering of the Justice League to try to get them guys together. That Superman scene was really phenomenal. But the Wonder Woman scene at the beginning, where she was saving all those people and she was just like literally Dragon Ball Z zooming everywhere. I thought that was pretty damn cool. And it really showed her strength and dominance too in that scene. I did like at the very beginning when two little kids were doing like a video interview with Superman. I thought that was cute.
But that was pretty
honestly
nice.
What really kind of interests me was the very end, which we'll segue into, which, you know, they had the two end credit scenes. One was just a throwaway of Superman. Why the hell I keep saying Batman first? This is DC's fault. Always putting all the Batman on a damn thing. But who was it? Flash and Superman were doing a race. So that was kind of a cute throwaway
It's a throwaway, but they ruined the throwaway because they should have been running, not flying.
Exactly. And it was supposed to be based on the episode of Superman or it was in the comic books too when he actually raced too.
Yeah, it was a long time ago in the comics too, yeah.
Yeah. So I figured that was a comic reference there, but the more important thing was at the end, and they had, you know, they had Deathstroke come in and help Luthor escape, but also the Joker kind of had his presence in there too, because the guy who was supposed to be Luthor ended up, you know, laughing hysterically, which led you to believe that the Joker had some, you know, something to do with this. And lo and behold, Deathstroke, played by Joe Manganiello, we know he's going to be in a Batman film coming out, so they're setting that up. And Luthor is asking about having a league of their own. So we know that the Injustice League or the Legion of Doom is in fact coming next. So my question to you guys and predictions from this point is your predictions. And do you want to see the Legion of Doom come into the next film? Lou, I'll start with you.
Oh, man. Predictions. More. That's what I want. More. Not Robert Moore, but actually more of this movie.
Doesn't hurt to have Robert Moore either.
No. I love them. But yeah, the Legion of Doom would definitely be great. I think either the Injustice League or Legion of Doom, some big bad entity should definitely poke their heads out. I love the direction that they went. I loved seeing the tassel and the sword on the back of the boat. That was I completely freaked out. And people around me were like, "Who is it? Who is it?" I said, "Shut up."
Yep.
And watch the movie. So, yeah.
That was Joe Manganiello too, right?
Yes, yeah. It was.
Yeah, it was definitely him. And the boat that Lex was on was named Icon, and Icon actually the company that made the Deathstroke suit that he wears in the Rebirth.
I didn't really put that together. Interesting. Yeah.
That's the one that self-regenerates, right? Or self-repairs?
Yes, that's the one.
Wow.
But they left it wide open, and hopefully they take advantage of the opportunity to continue this franchise. I really hope they will. And so it's going to be awesome. Yeah. But I think they're going to – I want Legion. I want more bad guys, and I want it to lead up to, of course, Darkseid.
Yeah. And then Lanterns, too, man, because if this actually gets Sinestro as a part of the group, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely give me some cosmic action. Give me some space-based stuff. That'd be pretty awesome.
Absolutely. They gave you a little hint right there, just a tip.
Yeah.
Just need a little bit more fleshing out.
Yeah, yep. Right? Exactly. Rob, what about you? What you thought about the end scene, your predictions and, you know, whatnot?
Well, I said after Batman vs. Superman, I'm pretty sure we're going to see Doomsday again. Maybe not exactly in that form, because, you know, in his comic form, he doesn't actually die. He always comes back stronger than he was. We may see the big spiky version, or we may even have, because, I mean, Luthor has his you know, financial fingers and everything.
Yeah.
We might see a Bizarro, because he was in on that. One of the doctors was, I can't remember his name, but the name of the person is the guy who's Parasite. We could see that. I think it was one of the janitors. Janitors at the
which he was a janitor, and right?
They said his last name, and I'm pretty sure that's the same guy who is Parasite. So, I mean, there's a lot of options. I just want them to just to flesh things out a little bit more and not just have them show up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't have any predictions on this because I don't know where this is going, especially now that they added the whole, you know, Luthor and the Legion or Injustice, you know, league coming in. I do want to see him with that damn suit, at least, and really do something there. I would love to see, like, Solomon Grundy. I would love to see, like, Sinestro and other people come in with this. But I do want them to further flesh out the whole Apocalypse thing, and I want to see Granny Granny Goodwin?
Goodness,
yeah. I swear to goodness they were hinting on bringing her in. I swear, like, throughout the entire movie that... Didn't Steppenwolf say anything about mother or something like that?
He was referring to that as the mother boxes, though. He wasn't.
Okay.
Because I thought about that too, the way that he was going about it, but because Steppenwolf is supposed to be Darkseid's uncle, and Darkseid killed his mother and brother to take over Apocalypse, so And he was supposed to be like a general, and he was the leader of their Hound division. He had a bunch of I think it was the one with Supergirl, the animated movie where they had those big old dogs that they were fighting on Apocalypse.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He was the handler for those. Steppenwolf was.
Gotcha.
So I think if they do end up on Apocalypse, they kind of have to have Granny Goodness, because she's the one who trains and is in charge of the Female Furies, which is like his best fighting group.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about those. This is where Berta came from, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Berta. Yeah. Big Berta,
yeah. All right. So, yeah, so I will see. I think from my perspective, regardless of what, you know, Rotten Tomatoes is, you know, and the critics on Rotten Tomatoes is ridiculous. Luckily, they have one for the fans, and the fans gave it an 86th percentile, while the critics, non-comic book readers, I'm sure, gave it a 37, unfortunately. So, and apparently, from what I hear, it only made $96 million on North America, but made about 110 range out there. I don't know how much the money took, how much the film took to make in this case, and whether this actually you know, benefits or supersedes, but we still got a few weeks to go. They believe they still got a little bit more worldwide, but I think at this point with this and Wonder Woman, they got legs to stand on, and I think they have room to improve from this point. So hopefully that they'll do it, because I've so far enjoyed what the DC films have been doing. Not to the extent of what Marvel has established, but they've worked really hard, much like Fox has with the X-Men. They've been working really hard to try to give us something really good. I hope they keep on going. I hope they don't go out like the Dark Universe has with Universal Studios.
But man, it died before it even started.
It did, right? Blame that damn Tom Cruise for it. But yeah, man. I'll be down to watch this again at any time. It was really satisfying. At best for me. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. Lou, thank you so very much for joining us on the show. We are going to be talking about The Punisher next week, so we hopefully get to see have you back on for that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It all depends on the footsteps upstairs.
I know. Going on. But they've been doing pretty good, so tell them thank you.
Yeah, I will.
But thank you so very much, man. We miss you. We love you. And
oh man, I miss you guys too, man.
You always got home here, so don't even try it.
Oh, yes, sir.
But you mentioned something too that we need to address right now, and that is we mentioned our Oracle. Tomorrow is Megan Walsh's birthday. Also, one of our former co-hosts as well. Want to wish her a happy birthday right now. Just to let her know that we love her, and we hope she have a great birthday. So happy birthday to you, sweetheart.
Happy birthday, Megs.
Happy birthday.
We will not buy you a stripper. But nonetheless, nonetheless, happy birthday to you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you all so much for being a part of the show, staying with us, joining in for the first time, and staying with us for the long run. We will have Select Start coming back as well. We will be reviewing Punisher next week. We'll see about that. Next week's Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We actually may be doing it next week. And of course, and I want to give a big thank you to Desmond Wong of the Gentle Brothers. I interviewed him. He's the artist and designer of the Cat Quest game that just came out for the PlayStation 4. The Nintendo Switch is out on iOS and Android devices. Freaking phenomenal game. If you ever really want a little bit of a Zelda type of feel, but it's all cats, and it's a very well drawn, very well played game. Deep story, you know, deep in replay value. Gotta go check this game out. It's $12.99 on PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch. $4.99 for the iOS. Definitely go out of your way to check it out. It's just great. He was all the way from Singapore. We managed to find a time to synchronize where we're going to be in the same day. before like once 12 o'clock p.m. comes, it's like the next day over there. They're 13 hours away. So he, you know, we worked at it hard to get on, and he was definitely a great guest to have. So definitely go out of your way to check that out. So ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it. On behalf of myself, Papa Cosmic, Lou Johnson, and Reno Robin Moore, all I gotta say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. We are out of here. See you next week. Take care.
Mahalo. Spread the love.
And thanks.
Peace.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. fucked.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.